As of today, the date of this recording, November 23rd, 2019, Joker is the most profitable superhero genre film in history. Sure, Avengers Endgame brought in more money to the tune of $2,797,800,564, which is almost 8 times its production budget of $356 million. But Joker's production budget was only $55 million, and it brought in $1,023,776,813, and that's a profit of 18.6 times the production budget. Not only that, but it's the first R-rated movie in history to earn over $1 billion at the box office. And as an article in Variety observed, all the more impressive, Joker reached the billion-dollar milestone without a release in China, the world's second-largest movie-going market. This is all to say that Joker made a big impression, not just on audiences, but surely on studio executives as well, and that'll probably affect their thinking on how to make movies in the superhero genre from here on out. Welcome to this special edition of Mechadragon about how Joker could change superhero movies. So, what does this all mean for superhero movies going forward? Well, it could be pretty significant. Joker is a realistically gritty psychological drama charting the descent of an unstable victimized character into madness and nihilism, forging him into one of the most iconic and infamous supervillains of all time, or at least a primordial incarnation. And all of this without the large-scale spectacle so common in superhero flicks today, which is one of the reasons the studio was able to make it for such a relatively low price tag. Now, if you're in the business of making profits, and the movie studios are, it generally makes a lot of sense to favor your bigger returns on investment, and Joker had well over twice the return on investment that Avengers Endgame did. This is a particularly important point for Warner Brothers, whose biggest DC Comics films haven't done so well. In fact, my speculation here relates mostly to non-Marvel movies, since Marvel has been pretty successful using their own formula. In any case, movie studios and their executives are going to take some lessons from this. The question is whether they'll take the right ones. So, what sort of changes might we see in our superhero genre movies in the future? For one, it's possible we'll see more R-rated superhero movies, as well as R-rated movies I'd call superhero adjacent. In other words, movies featuring villains or other characters from comic books, but without a significant presence of traditional superheroes in the story. There could be a greater emphasis on psychologically driven narratives that rely less on explosions and other visual effects, which has the effect of keeping production budgets down. Joker's popularity shows that huge movie audiences, including the hardcore comics fandoms, will pay their hard-earned cash to watch movies set in more realistic worlds with mature, even disturbing themes, and without muscular, flying people in spandex or MacGuffin-heavy, end-of-the-universe-level stakes. At the same time, Warner Brothers and DC won't want to stop capitalizing on over-the-top Aquaman-style superhero flicks with their more traditional spectacle, lighthearted tone and all. Aquaman and Shazam have both done really well for Warner and DC and have generally been seen as a positive turning point since all the hate for Batman v Superman and Justice League. So we might see a bifurcation of superhero cinema, at least in the non-Marvel realm. On one side, we've got Joker and other modestly budgeted mature films that dig deep into the psychology of their characters. The Batman, scheduled for release in 2021, already seems like such an entry. On the other side, there's big action-adventure films for solo superheroes like Shazam, Aquaman 2, and Wonder Woman 1984. Two films that have the potential to straddle this line are the already announced Birds of Prey and The Suicide Squad. And you have to remember that James Gunn is bringing his experience from Marvel to the table for The Suicide Squad. But my guess is Birds will take more of the Joker path, but with more humor and less disturbing violence. Well, what about shared cinematic universes and team-up movies? Todd Phillips, who directed Joker, has said there are no plans to cross over Joaquin Phoenix's Joker with others from the DCEU, and DC's latest solo films don't seem connected to each other at all. The timeline between Aquaman and Justice League, for example, really makes no sense whatsoever. Now, DC is under no obligation to build an MCU-style shared universe, and I do not believe all comic book movies need to follow the Marvel Studios model. Definitely not. But I have a sense that audiences love shared cinematic universes. That's a topic for another episode, but for my part, one of the things I love most about the MCU is how it is interconnected in a way that comic book universes always have been. Now, that said, between Joker's success and what we know about upcoming DCEU movies, I doubt we're going to see much shared universe building or team-up movies in the foreseeable future. Joker's incredible success was unexpected, and I do think it will have some effect on which superhero genre movies are greenlit in the future, as well as how those movies are constructed. How and to what extent that will be the case, however, is up for debate. Now, I've lived and worked in Hollywood, and I know a lot of people in the business, so I think I have an educated guess here, but again, this is just my speculation, and I want to hear what you think, too. Hit me up at mechadragonshow@gmail.com, on Twitter at mechadragonshow, or on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/mechadragon. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or your choice of platform. This is Captain Geek, signing out. Music used is Non-Stop by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0, license creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.